And we are back, finally, after a few weeks away.
We're back.
I apologize. Most of that is my doing, as Daniel, producer Daniel, decided that he wanted to film us, and I decided to get an eye infection.
Good timing.
It was gross.
Good timing. But it gave me these stylish glasses that I can lose at any point and very not nice. Be able to see.
And, you know, scheduling and work and everything.
Holidays.
Else. It's been busy.
Speaking of said holidays, we just had Thanksgiving, Christopher.
We did. Yes, we did.
And anyway, by the way, welcome to the Mystery Incorporated podcast, the Mystery Machine Diaries, dedicated to everything Mystery Incorporated. I am your ghost host, Brad, and with me, the adorable pup named
Chris.
There we go. And we will be walking you through every episode of Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, starting from the very beginning. Digging deep, hidden facts, things you might know, things you never knew, and sometimes things that I didn't know.
Maybe some made-up stuff, even.
We try not to have made-up stuff, Christopher.
Well, as long as it's good content, right?
Behind the keys of steel, we have our meddling producer, Daniel.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, it's weird.
You can hear me.
He's haunting
his voice.
But I still,
Mystery Mansion.
I still miss doing this.
But he is
That's
the one that
Daniel, we all
keeps
know.
Us on track,
That's
if
right.
anyone could.
He does.
And props to him for the green screen background.
What green screen background?
I mean, we're on location.
We are on location.
In 1969 haunted house. Clearly, that's where we are.
Cool.
It is from
Pretty
the
cool.
opening credits of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? One of my favorite haunted houses, and hopefully yours. But yeah, back to Thanksgiving, stuffing turkeys and all that.
Yeah.
How was yours?
Lovely. It was great.
You
were there.
And you were there? And you were there?
We went out to dinner, which was a great decision. Very low stress.
Because I can't
cook. I offered to cook, but we also had some kind of last-minute friends joining.
Yes.
Which
is always
nice. Which was wonderful, but that would
our very own
off,
Mystery
so.
Incorporated gang.
Yeah, kind of. It was low key. It was very nice. Saw a bunch of friends.
It was good.
It was wonderful.
It was good. I enjoyed it as well. Very weird having that day off, which I don't normally
You haven't had actual Thanksgiving off in years. I mean, since before I've known you. So,
many years ago.
I did miss family a little bit, but we'll do the big family Christmas.
Shout out
here.
To the Garrettson family, the most perfect family in family land.
They're pretty great. We're going to be the Garrettson fam all together for and Christmas, great. And you're going to be there, and I'm going to guilt trip you into coming, so it's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. Great. And if anyone didn't know, Chris and I are together, and that's why we're always attached to the hip. And this podcast didn't bring us together, if you thought that. I mean, we could have sold it that way, but it's been 3 years.
Well, it hasn't driven us apart, so it's bringing us together.
This is where you have a sound effect, Daniel. Rut-row. There we go. Thank you. But yes, now, where can they find us, by the way? If they're listening to us or watching us, where can all this happen?
Well, you can find episodes of the podcast, the video podcast. Video podcast, vodcast, on Facebook. If you want to just listen to us in your ear holes, you can do that on Apple or Stitcher or Anchor.fm or Spotify. Oh, maybe we're not on Stitcher.
No, what is Stitcher?
It's a podcast hosting thing.
I don't think we're on Stitcher, but we could get on.
Oh, well, maybe we will be on Stitcher.
But there you go.
Sorry,
the disembodied voice
I've been listening
very.
To, another a lot of another podcast that's pushing Stitcher really hard during the breaks, so it's on the brain.
Is that a podcast you don't care for?
No.
Or one you like?
One I like.
Okay.
Yeah, the Wolverine, the Marvel one.
Oh, don't plug another.
Sorry.
I fell under that. I apologize.
Too, you know? Yeah. anyways, and you can find us on social media if you want to say hi or send us a message or
send us messages. We love
pictures
that.
Or anything.
Pictures.
You can find us on Facebook or Instagram for the communication. So
it's true. Awesome. And yes, Mystery Machine Diaries. We're hopping back in the van. Chris, are you ready to go?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
We're going back to Crystal Cove and October of 2010. We're on episode 12, Chris.
Halfway through.
Can you believe it?
About halfway through the first season.
We've made it.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
12 episodes in. For me, this is a whole huge accomplishment.
It's already 2 more episodes than a season of that other podcast I won't name again. So,
burn.
Look at that.
Yeah. So, yes, episode 12, The Shrieking Madness, take one. And we begin at Darrow University, Chris.
Yep.
A fine university in Crystal Cove, I assume. And it is named after the Darrow family, who will be very important on the show.
They never really tell us if it's Crystal Cove or nearby.
I'd imagine it's by Gaithersburg.
Oh, maybe. Maybe halfway between Gaithersburg
and
Crystal
Cove. It looks pretty sunny there, so I'm saying it's Crystal Cove.
They all get driven out there. I feel like if it was in town, they would have just popped over themselves, but all their parents dropped them off. So
once again, it
feels like
me,
it's farther out of town to me.
It reminds me of Buffy, where all of a sudden this tiny town has a university, Sunnydale University,
right,
out of nowhere.
Right.
Even though there's only one Starbucks, but there's a whole university and a shipping district. So I like that things just appear as they need them.
Yeah.
So we're at Darrow University.
That's how city planning should work.
Yeah. Darrow University, and we have a group of students. I called them nerds, and you don't think that's correct?
I don't think they're not nerds. It's just not a table of strictly stereotypical nerds. I thought they had a good, like, there's a nerdy guy, there's a jock kind of guy, there's a hippie-looking guy.
And you went to university,
it's like a
correct?
Slice of, yeah, it felt like a slice of university life to
what
me.
What university did you go
I
to?
I went to UC Davis. Go Aggs. Oh. Yeah.
And I went to community college.
Yeah.
Yay. Mm-hmm. I went along with producer Daniel.
Yeah. What
Very
were
nice.
We? What was our mascot?
Does the Valley College have a mascot?
It's got to have a mascot. Every school's got a mascot.
I think we're the LA Valley College.
Is it
LA
an
Valley
Armenian
College.
Not doing their homework? Ooh, just kidding.
We were the basement film.
I don't
makers.
Think the other school I went to had a mascot, actually. So.
Yeah. But we went. We both majored in the same thing, I believe. Film and TV production. What did you major in?
Oh, film and TV production. Food science and technology with an emphasis in fermentation science and...
Alcohol.
And German.
Nine.
Yeah.
Ja.
Yeah.
So, these kids are arguing over a book, as often kids do. It's a book called The Shrieking Madness, Chargar Gothicon, The Beast That Hath No Name.
So the kid who approaches
the has
table...
A name.
picks the book up off the table and immediately starts ridiculing both the book, the author, and whoever is reading it.
And the
calling it drivel and well, you know.
Sounds like a discussion in our home.
Chargar Gothicon, the beast that has no name, but he just named it.
And who's
Which
the
is true,
author?
The name of the beast is right there in the title.
Who's the author?
H.P. Hatecraft. Yeah, little on the nose. I like it, though. I think it's... I don't know. Of course, I love a good pun. Like, if it were a little more...
It is, of course, based on H.P. Lovecraft and The Call of Cthulhu.
Yes.
A very famous book of the oldie timeies that has been recycled countless times in pop culture and media. And in fact, one of the nerdy students runs who insults the book goes out to the parking lot by himself, goes by himself to the parking lot in Crystal Cove, which is not good. Travel in groups, folks.
Yeah, always, especially in Crystal Cove.
And as you would point out, very, very horror movie style, walk into his car.
Yeah, he's outside walking to his car, and you hear like the tense music
and his
shadows
car,
moving, and there's a couple of false starts. Who's there? And no one's
did
there.
Did you see what his air freshener was?
No.
It was Tweety Bird.
Nice.
I love an inside joke. And he is attacked by...
I thought I saw an ancient one.
Chargar Gothicon. the beast that hath a name, and it's a squiddly diddly monster.
He's a squiddly boy. Yeah, he's got tentacle face, glowing eyes, sweet high collar like headdress thing.
He's very stylish.
Yeah,
for
super stylish. I love the costume. The
ancient demon.
The character design on this guy is primo. I'm a big
fan. The show does a good job with the character designs.
I like this one a lot.
And he has a sonic scream, a la Black Canary.
He's shooting the like
sound,
sonic
rings
sound
rings
out of his mouth, like in cartoons that denotes, you know, ultrasonic, whatever. But it's like it's like throwing cars around and punching holes in walls through buildings. I mean, it's like it takes a huge divot out of the ground. Like, it's really powerful.
I'm sorry, I'm looking off camera. There's a really cute dog over to my right that's just decided to sit down and have a nap. What's the dog's name?
Rusty.
Daniel?
You remember Rusty?
It is definitely Rusty.
Yeah. Rusty?
And his last name is Dusty.
Rusty Dusty?
That's his name.
That's great.
Rusty Dusty, what kind of dog is it? It's a very cute dog.
He's definitely a mutt, and his brother looks completely opposite of him.
We'll put a picture of him
on mini Scoob. He's kind of Scooby colored anyways.
He is.
Yeah.
So the kid is probably dead, who just got
he looks
sonic
pretty
dead.
Yeah, he looks like he took a sonic blast to the face.
Who hasn't?
But, you know, it just kind of zooms out on him screaming. So I have a feeling, since this is a kid's cartoon, that we'll see him later. But it things are looking grim.
Grim, maybe.
And then, cue opening credits.
Opening credits, and then we get the title card, Chapter 12. The Shrieking Madness.
Ah!
It should have been more shrieky than Mwaha, but I didn't have anything prepared. The episode name. We went over this, and you didn't really know what it was referring to at the time.
I mean, I assumed it was another Lovecraft reference, another book, probably.
Sort of.
Because that's
sort
kind of what he did, was write books and short stories.
I am assuming it is based on the late 90s movie In the Mouth of Madness, the John Carpenter film. Which is about H.P. Lovecraft-style stories. Yes, Daniel, you're great. I can see what you're doing. He's very proud of his photos and his photo skills. It was a late 90s movie where all the Lovecraft stories come to life, much like this episode. So I'm imagining that.
I think he's got the Mountains of Madness
Mountains
2 or something.
Madness.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't actually read any Lovecraft books. I don't know.
That surprises me. You love books.
Yeah, I do. He's been on my list forever.
Books are decorative.
No. It's like John Waters says, if you go to someone's house and they don't have books, don't sleep with them.
We won't.
I like that John
Waters
right quote
back.
A lot.
So we cut to Derry University again. Mm-hmm. Because this is where the whole episode takes place, at Derry University. Once again, we'll figure the name of the university out in a few minutes. But we have Daphne's parents dropping her off. I guess it's college day, open campus day. They don't really specify why folks are going there. But
yeah, I mean,
look at your campus with your parents?
Yeah.
Is so.
Well, not Davis, because I'd already been so many times. Because my brother
you can remember.
Was there, and my cousin went there, and my good family friend went. There's a lot of people in my life who went there. Yeah, so I didn't need to visit that campus, but we went to schools and looked around and did the intro days.
So I'm assuming
it's places.
Campus day.
Yeah.
So Daphne's dropped off by her parents. And
who are super rude.
Wow. This is a really heartbreaking scene where Nan, who last episode or the episode before was the not vampire, you'd think she'd be a little more forgiving. She reminds Daphne that her sisters graduated Derry University by the time they were 13.
Yeah, and Daphne's like, I'm only here because you wanted me to look at this school.
Yeah, like this is just gonna be a fun.
I don't even really want to go. I mean, the subtext being, I don't want to go to this school. I imagine Daphne wants to go out of state.
She wants to get out.
She wants to go far away.
Her mom laughs,
but
at that.
Her mom takes it
and says
a weird direction though, and it
says
like,
a horrible line.
The university isn't good enough for the university that's good enough for the other Blake girls isn't good enough for you.
Sometimes
I wish we had a boy. Whoa!
Wow!
Whoa!
That was. For a kid's cartoon, that was pretty deep.
Yeah, that was harsh. I think, I forget, her dad kind of lays out some of the similar sentiments of, you know, like, any daughter of mine's going to go to this school. It's like, come on, dad.
Yeah.
Let her be your own thing. Rude.
But that was, I guess in their world, she's already behind. She's already like the slow one since she's 16 at least.
Apparently. I mean, she's not an astronaut yet, so.
Astronaut, Viking, I don't know. All her sisters are village people. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then
they're all Barbie playsets, right? Those are all Barbie career options.
Yes.
Yeah.
They run the gamut of every Barbie doll.
Yeah.
And of course, Daphne.
They have a
sweet
car.
They do have a nice car.
Yeah, it's like a fancy, like old school swoopy Rolls Royce looking thing.
They're being driven by a driver. And then we have Mayor Dad drops off Fred.
Well, Cheesy Pete's Fred.
He just say cheesy Pete. That's what you say.
I know. Well, I'm just.
Mayor Dad, whose name is also Fred, Fred Sr., he's super excited that his son might be going to the university. And when Fred is sad about the gang breaking up, he exclaims, "By Grabthar's hammer, Fred, the Rogers kid chose a dog over a girl," which, great line.
Yeah. This reminds me, in Daphne's car, that's what her dad is talking about. And she's like, "Well, hon, spending some time away from your little mystery friends is going to be a good thing for you."
Sometimes.
And this was kind of shocking to me because I didn't realize the gang was like for realsies.
Did we already show the queue, Daniel? Because he interrupted.
What?
He was showing the quote was from, of course, Galaxy Quest by Grabthar's hammer.
Oh, that's why that sounded so familiar. Yes. I mean, it's not Thor's hammer, clearly.
No, it's Grabthar's hammer.
Grabthar's hammer, Galaxy
by
Quest.
Grabthar's hammer. Nice. What a savings! It's such a weird shout out to Galaxy Quest. And by the way, there's a new Galaxy Quest documentary that just came out.
Oh, really?
I'm very excited to see it. It was one of those self-financed things.
Where can people see this?
I don't know, but I've seen lots of adverts for it. I think it's on an Amazon Prime type deal. We'll post it on the Facebook page.
Thank you for teasing.
Sorry, yes. Check back later, folks. Did you like Galaxy Quest?
Love Galaxy Quest. Oh, yeah. It's a great movie.
But
I was... Yes. I want to go back to.
Okay.
I was.
That's why
I
our
was
podcast is an hour and a half
really,
long.
I'm sorry, yeah, sorry. I didn't realize we had time constraints.
Well, you know.
I was really shocked that like the gang was for reals. He's broken up. I actually went back and rewatched the end of the previous episode.
We know that.
Because they all walk away from each other.
They do.
But it's never explicitly like, "We're not going to hang out anymore, guys." Which I guess we don't need it to be like that obvious, but. I don't know. Somehow there was a finality to opening the episode this way. Well, I think they will too, but still don't like it.
But they are split up.
I don't like
the
them
gang
on the
is
outs.
Split up at this point. And Fred's dad is super excited because he's going to send Fred to his frat.
Oh boy,
his frat where he is a legend. Apparently,
don't ruin this for me, Fred.
That's good.
Yeah,
see,
it's not bad.
You need to work on
it.
The voices more.
Yeah, he's like, you know, I've been waiting for the day that my fraternity can embarrass you, basically, or something
like
that.
Yeah, and haze you and stuff.
Yeah. Done. Don't ruin this for me.
And they will.
Just go and drop my name. And it's like, oh, boy.
And the Joneses are driving a nice sports car.
Yeah, it is a nice. Well, I mean, Mayor Dad. You've got a nice
Mayor
car.
Dad is, yeah. He's got the money.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go to Velma being dropped off by Mrs. Dinkley, Angie Dinkley, who is dropping her daughter off as well. Velma doesn't care about the gang. She just wants to get.
She doesn't care about the gang, and she doesn't care about the school.
No, she just wants to get
she
her stack.
She probably has
of
like 4 degrees yes. already.
She probably already graduated, like the Blakes.
Probably, the Blake yeah. But she's excited to meet her favorite author, who's
Harlan
speaking
Ellison.
On campus.
Yes.
Harlan Ellison. That's right.
A real person that we'll get into. And she has a stack of books, and she's hoping that she can get them all signed. And Velma's mom says, "Just tell her."
It's like, oh, I knew Harlan back in the day.
Just tell her Cape Cod Dinkley says hello.
Cape Cod Dinkley. So this is the real mystery of the episode. I want
you
the
know?
Story of Cape Cod.
Cape Cod Dinkley?
Dinkley, yeah.
What else happened in Cape Cod?
Jaws. Yeah.
Not. But we should take a trip there so I can be terrified.
That'd be great. I've been to Cape Cod. I can go back.
Of course
I have family in outside Boston.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
You and your family. Your perfect family.
What? Yeah.
I love them. I love them. His family is great.
They're great. What do you want?
Shout out to Jane Garrison.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
Hi.
I don't know if she watches either.
She will.
She might.
She
would.
At some point.
She's very supportive, so she would.
So support. Blind support. Look
you
what
sure
happens,
like
Jane,
that Scooby-Doo?
You sure like that so Scooby-Doo? And then we switch to Shaggy and Scooby. Being
who's the only
off.
One in a crap? No. The Dinkley car is the crappy car.
The Dinkley
right.
car
Shaggy,
is the...
Yeah. When we zoom out and see all the cars, the Dinkleys are the only crappy car. Yeah.
And Shaggy and Scooby are excited to be dropped off at campus because of Campus Burger, because apparently it has legendary hamburgers and food.
Yeah.
And Shaggy's dad, voiced by Casey Kasem, sounding... Not too healthy if you listen to him talk.
It kind of works perfectly for Shaggy's dad.
It does. Shaggy's dad pleads, just don't say who their last
He's
name
like,
is.
He's like, yeah, just don't embarrass us, and actually don't even tell them your last name. Whoa.
So this is a great insight to each of the families and why these kids are so messed up.
I mean, I can see why they don't spend a lot of time at home.
Right?
Yeah.
And Shaggy's parents have a lot of money, and we never find out why, I don't think.
No. And then they all get out of the cars.
At the same time, at the same place. You don't see this, but they're all...
Yeah, so it's just cut from the interior of one car to the next, to the next, to the next. And then you get the exterior shot, and they're all parked in a row.
So they're all standing outside the cars.
And they all get out of the cars at the same time.
In a line.
And it's a really well-done scene, but it's also, I don't even want to say bittersweet. It's just kind of bitter. It's kind of sad. They all kind of look at each other and then just go off and do their own thing. It's like, oh, man. Oof. I don't like it.
You were really emotional about this episode.
It gets me, man.
They're growing up. This is what they're telling us. Mystery Inc.
Nope.
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 Not growing up.
I already had to go through that personally. I don't want my beloved cartoon characters to do that, too.
So we cut to Fred going to Mu Gamma Tau, the frat, which is covered in toilet paper and has a moose on the top of the roof.
It's very...
does that look like a frat?
Animal House. We didn't have those at Davis, but yeah, that's a frat house.
So another thing I love about the show is just the amazing design of everything. All the matte paintings they use, and even something... Blink and you miss it, like the buildings. The buildings, a lot of care.
Like the moose on the roof.
Design.
I don't know if I noticed the moose on the roof the first time.
But I did. So Fred goes in there, and of course, he is greeted by a bunch of buff guys.
It's a bunch of jocks. This is apparently the jock frat. And he drops his dad's name.
And they're
super
impressed.
And they're like, oh my God, we thought that Fred Jones Sr. was a legend. Like, we didn't think he was real. Holy
and they
cow,
like to
come
wrestle.
In, of course.
They like to wrestle. This
and,
is super gay.
Well, so Fred is like, so what do you do?
Did
like,
you build traps?
Party, study, building traps, all hopefully. And the guy's like, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. There's only one thing to do when you're, gorgeous, male, and ripped on campus.
Yeah.
Wrestle. And they all, like, rip their shirts off and get into a pile. Like, it is the most homoerotic
thing I've
ever seen in a Scooby-Doo cartoon. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I didn't say I didn't enjoy it. It was just
I used to coach wrestling.
The whole frat angle was already gay enough, and then they just lean into it. It's kind of amazing. It's great.
I have a gold medal in wrestling.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
Like, you're like
wrestled for about 12 years.
Almost years. A pro wrestler.
Almost. Like, almost. Yeah. Could have gone that way. Could have been a contender.
That'd be cool. It does not remind me of either the athletic or the LGBTQ frat at my campus.
You had
at
an LGBTQ
all.
Frat?
There was a gay frat. Yeah.
God. I went to We've come parties. So far. We've come so far. I just
but
enjoyed
it was not
that.
Like that at all.
I just enjoyed that the stuffed bear has a tie.
very Yogi Bear.
The little Archie guy, the buff Archie.
I noticed Buff Archie. You like a redhead.
It's weird though. It's like they knew that Riverdale was going to happen and Archie would turn buff.
Is that what happens?
8 years before the show Riverdale.
Well, used to me.
And the new Riverdale, he's like super buff and hot. He's not skinny or anything. So they predicted it.
Like normal TV fit or like
no,
like bulked
no,
up.
Like bulked up. Like, the whole thing is in the first episode of Riverdale. That Archie over the summer bulked up and like became this really sexy guy.
Oh, all right, good for you, Archie.
Of course, Riverdale based on Archie comics, and Archie comics did have several crossovers with our pal Scooby with Josie and the Pussycats, among others.
I still think Sabrina Spellman would be the ideal crossover for Scooby.
I agree.
I'd like to see her summon Scooby.
Chargar Kothakon.
Yeah, like a talking demon dog for an episode. Oh, that'd be so cute.
Like in the show, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina?
Yeah,
she should
summon like a demon dog and it should look like Scooby and talk like him.
Well.
If you're listening out there, producers, writers.
You don't have to credit us at all. Daphne follows orders and she goes to the Blake Family Center.
Oh, yeah, she's told, go to the building that's named after us.
And we see the plaque, the Blake Family Center for Self-Named Buildings.
Which is amazing.
And they made a sign. Once again, they made a sign for it. They didn't have to do that for the show. It's so great. And there's a protest happening Did you have protests on your campus?
Oh yeah, yeah. I was in a few of them.
At the community college, there was a few like tables, and people wanted to talk to you about things.
Well, there was that too, but there were also some stuff that went down while I was at school. So like there were.
A podcast for another time.
Yeah, yeah, really. I can get into a whole bunch of stuff. But I really like the like very stereotypical socialist Che Guevara looking fella.
Just chanting. Just chanting, and Daphne is enthralled by this because
we love to chant. We love to chant.
We just do that. She just wants terrible. She just wants to be anywhere.
She is
rebel.
Just swept up in the moment. It is a side of her I have never seen. Apparently this girl is just born to protest. I can see her going all in when she gets to college on just whatever the cause of the week is.
Yeah,
she's super into it.
And then Shaggy and Scooby go to Campus Burger, and they're super excited to get all that amazing food. And they find out what's happened to
them. They order. They're looking at the menu. They're like, this is amazing. We're finally here. This is going to be so good. And they order your most famous food, please, which I think is a great order. I'd like to do that at the restaurant.
Go somewhere.
Play your most famous food, please. And they bring out these glorious burgers. And we get one of the first real, like, gross-out moments of the series, which I didn't care for. It's just them eating super sloppily and gross everywhere. And it's, like, really close up on their mouths while they're eating for some reason.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know. It stuck with me. I didn't like it.
And we find out the restaurant is...
And they, like, look at each other. There's clearly something wrong. And the waitress informs them that new management took over 2 weeks ago, and we are now...
Vegan.
Was local, free-range, organic, vegan.
Vegan.
And...
Once again, 2010. This is 2010, before it was super huge.
But it's a college campus. So, yeah. I mean, you know...
I'm just saying, you know.
It's a bastion of liberal hippies eating bean patties. Clearly this is not like
Sprouts,
you know, a new Impossible Burger, because they are suddenly super not into it.
And I believe that this is a shout out to Casey Kasem, who was a vegetarian vegan himself, so I think it was a nice nod to him. And also worked for the plot, but I think if I were guessing.
Well, I mean,
because he was in the episode, he might
have
said.
Should they have been into it then?
You think they should
like
be into any
food.
I don't know why they would be against vegan food.
I completely agree. And also, like, French fries are often vegan. It's just fried potatoes. Like, you know, it's not like they shy away from vegetables in other
instances.
And
the food looks pretty good.
So, yeah, it looked really good. It's weird to me. Like, I've had delicious veggie burgers.
I guess
maybe Scooby
like
can't live on
they'll eat anything.
Alone. But yeah. So that was...
Sometimes they'll eat fog. So I don't get it, man. So...
Weird moment.
Weird, kooky, crazy moment. Did you recognize the waitress?
No.
She looked a lot like the waitress at the Vampire Steakhouse.
Oh, she did.
It's not her.
The bloody steak.
That's her, yeah.
The rare steak, yeah.
Yeah, it looks like her, but like the nice version of her. Maybe they're sisters.
Maybe it's your sister, yeah.
So yeah, she's
well,
the one that tells
them
it's vegan.
Well, that's what clean vegan living will do for you.
Wow. The views of Christopher, not necessarily those of...
I'm not saying I'm vegan. I like animals in my food.
I could never do it. I like hamburgers too much.
I couldn't give up cheese. I think it'd be easier to give up meat than cheese.
I do love cheese.
Yeah, cheese is amazing. Person.
So
also, not all beer is vegan. So there you go.
You did go to school for that.
I did. It's something I would know. I used to ruin hippie vegans' days by telling them that Guinness wasn't vegan. But it is now. But that's a relatively recent thing.
Before you stood up against it?
No. I didn't care. I'm all for it. But you get people, you know, classic college debate and me wanting to stir the pot, just drop it and be like, you're all
oh boy.
You're drinking animals.
We do like to debate.
Yeah. So
break up and debate and break up.
We haven't broken up. We just debate.
So speaking of debate, we go to a lecture hall with Harlan Ellison, who is doing a book signing and a speaking engagement. And he starts out with one of my favorite lines of the show ever. All of a sudden you hear him say, and that's why there hasn't been anything good written since the 1970s.
That's pretty great. And to thunderous
sort of,
applause.
Yes,
yeah.
Which is sort of
all
true.
All these teenagers who were not alive in the 70s are all like, yeah.
It's just a great way just to start his introduction to his character. And he takes questions, which is always death from anybody. And we see Howard E. Roberts for the first time. He's a cute guy. He's a cute, chubby guy.
He was in the very beginning.
Is he one of the people that was
Yeah, he's one of the people that... Because the freckled guy who's making fun of the book is directing it at him.
He's the one defending it immediately. He watches the show.
I saw this one twice.
Twice. Yeah. And he asks Harlan about H.P. Hatecraft's literary work, and that doesn't go too well.
Okay, fair. Like, to be fair, you don't go to an author's book signing and ask about someone else's book. Like, that's just dumb.
But also,
and rude.
We established that Hatecraft is a professor there at that university.
Yes.
So that's kind of crappy, too.
Well, I guess that, I mean, maybe that lends a little more credence to the question, but he's like, yeah, can you compare and contrast your work to, like, this other book by someone else? And Harlan's having none of it. He starts out fairly gentle. He's like, H.P. Hatecraft is. He's a decent scribbler.
He eases into the decimation reading challenge.
But then the kind of cute rips him apart. What's his name?
Flat top?
Howard. I forget what Howard's response is, but then Harlan just goes for the jugular.
And then the whole audience, not only going after H.P. Hatecraft,
but going after Howard personally. And the audience eats it up. Like, this is how you get school shooters. Like, right here.
Whoa, this scene.
Making fun of the quiet, nerdy white guy. Daniel, we might need to edit that part out.
Just
saying. Like, that, I was thinking, because everyone's laughing, like, at, he's clearly distraught.
It's a very Carrie moment. They're all going to laugh at you.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And then Harlan says something else, and everyone gives Harlan a standing ovation while, like, shouting this kid down. Like, it is harsh.
How do you really feel about that whole thing?
That's just like that.
Now, do you know who Howard E. Roberts is in reference to? I love asking you, putting you on the spot. He is in reference to Robert E. Howard, basically the father of sword and sorcery and the creator of Conan the Barbarian.
Oh, nice.
So
that's cool.
I did have to do some research because whenever they name somebody, I'm like, he has to be in reference to a writer or somebody. And I was surprised because I knew the name. And yeah, so it's, I love, once again, it's the small things that we don't always. Third and fourth viewings, my friends. Yeah. Were you familiar with Harlan Ellison?
No. So I, again, when the character design is that unique and when they get a name, I assumed it was a specific reference. I just very much got like 70s psychedelic writer.
You'd be correct.
Off of him, you know.
Harlan J. Ellison.
Yeah.
He was an American writer known for his prolific and influential work in New Wave speculative fiction. Things that I think you would read and enjoy.
So I'm kind of surprised I haven't heard of him, but that does sound like my kind of stuff, yeah.
He had a resurgence in the early 2000s.
Okay.
A lot of his books were reprinted. He passed away, sadly, in last year.
Oh.
But he did voice his character. He voiced himself.
Oh, he did. That's him.
That's him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And
oh, that's even better because the voice acting's really good for him.
Yeah.
Like, it's it doesn't sound amateurish at all. He's got a lot of range, and he's very, like, when he's insulting Howard, he really, like, goes in after him. So that's awesome.
When we talked to Victor Cook, I was still amazed at the voice work that they got for that show. And I didn't even know that was really Harlan Ellison at the time. So I think
that's
pretty
cool.
Hardcore. Now, Harlan now has decimated H.P. Hatecraft's work. He is attacked in the parking lot by Squidly Tiddly.
Well, we missed. You forgot.
What?
Cape Cod Dinkley.
I did. I apologize.
Velma gets her book signed.
She does. All her books.
And he's kind of looking at her a little.
I'm signing as fast as I can.
And she introduces herself, just talks right over her. My name's Velma Dinkley. Hi. And he's like, oh, yeah, sure. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
Any relation to Cape Cod Dinkley? And she's like, yeah, it's my mom. And he's like, oh, tell her hi. Like, oh, my God, I want to know what happened in Cape Cod.
We should ask Victor Cook.
Oh, we should.
There's a backstory.
Okay, another question for Victor. Yeah.
Part two for that interview
coming
soon to the Mystery Machine podcast. So, yes, Velma gets all her books signed, and Harlan's very excited. Oh, but he says something very devastating to her.
Oh, his, like, exit line. By the way,
Jinkies is not a word.
It's my only complaint about his character, because he's, like, delightfully snarky and mean to everyone. I don't like his incessant grammar Nazism.
And it'll happen again in a few moments.
It does.
But, yeah, Jinkies
is
not. I loved it. Because, I mean, now it's a word, but before it wasn't.
What's a made-up word? And all words are made
and
up.
He, so. And for saying that, he is attacked in the parking lot by Chargar Gothicon.
He sure is. Yeah, he's well, he's muttering to himself about HP, Hatecraft, blah, blah, blah. Maybe someone will ask me about my own books for once instead of his drivel. And then lo and behold,
Squiddly Diddly.
Squiddly Diddly pops up out of nowhere.
He does.
Doing the did. Gonna get you.
And the gang hear someone being attacked, each doing what they're doing at the time.
Yeah, so Harlan's screaming, help me, and apparently no one else on campus can hear that, and apparently those...
Mr. Incorporated, they're
tuned in to cries for help, and across campus, from the campus burger to the frat house to...
To the protest where Daphne says, what construct of the man are we going to go after next?
Oh, that's right, and fake Che Guevara's like... Just wait, like we'll have the perfect thing. It'll come to us in a moment. In the meantime, pick something off the list of protestables.
Yes, and it's just the random stupid things that you could protest. But the gang get together. They all run and meet each other in the parking lot and see the attack. And the Beast uses a sonic scream at them, and
they rescue Harlan.
They rescue Harlan.
And drive off
as
Chargar
a team.
Gothicon. Yeah.
Chargar. Flees for some reason, and there's a mistake in that scene that carries over through the episode. In the parking lot is the Mystery Machine.
I didn't notice that.
The Mystery Machine is clearly parked there, even though we've established they were all dropped off by their parents.
It's a pretty magical vehicle, though. It's
like
probably
it drove itself.
I mean, that's not even magic anymore. Yeah.
It's like Knight Rider. It knew.
Elon Musk. Just
There's no picture of that if you're looking, Daniel.
Mystery Machine.
I forgot, Daniel.
It's okay.
Sorry. But yeah, the Mystery Machine's there. Still, we hear at
Hanging
the
out.
Mystery Machine Diaries are never upset at the appearance
no,
of the
no, no,
vehicle.
No, I'm all for it, even if I don't notice it.
You'd think Harlan would be very grateful for being saved.
Nah, he's just kind of immediately a jerk.
Yeah. And Grammer attacking again Shaggy for his, use of, the word like.
Yeah, he really goes after Shaggy.
Me too.
It's rude.
I love him, though.
Oh, no, it's great. It works. It plays really well. But, he's supposed to be rude.
And at the scene of the crime, they find a copy of The Shrieking Madness.
Yes.
And apparently it smells very gross. The copy
it
of the book smells really gross.
They have several descriptions of how
yeah,
it
how
smells.
How rank it smells.
I think it's what? Week-old clam chowder being gargled by a seal is one of my favorites. I like that one.
So it smells nasty.
Yeah.
And like the ocean.
And fishy. Yeah. It's,
and
it's all earmarked and underlined and highlighted and stuff. It's all drawn in. It's a very well-worn copy of Chargar.
Well-worn. I like
Chargar
that.
Gothicon.
Chargar. Charbroiled Gothicon.
Which, again, it's, for those of you following along at home, Chargar Gothicon makes you think of Harmar Superstar. If you don't know Harmar Superstar, go check him out. He's an amazing songwriter and singer. His music videos are fabulous. And he sounds like Chargar Gothicon, but Harmar Superstar. So there you go.
We'll be
plugging
right
all
back.
Kinds of stuff this episode.
Yeah. So, being detectives, they go to H.P. Hatecraft's university office,
to confront the man himself.
Which is Hatecraft Manor. They have this. He has this beautiful.
He's got a
castle,
gorgeous
on campus
haunted house on campus. It's an amazing. I mean, I've never seen any kind of professor housing like this. It's incredible.
Do you have a photo of that, Daniel, or no? We don't.
We'll
post that on the Facebook.
The dean
page.
Doesn't even get digs like this. It's
The doors just open, so the gang go inside.
Uh-huh.
And
they announce themselves. The door was open. We're coming in.
Because that helps.
Well, that's better than just skulking about in the shadows.
But that's what they skulk a lot, though. It's not their first rodeo.
No, they don't skulk. Chargar skulks.
Chargar skulks? Is that on the second
Chargar
book?
Skulks. No, that's going to be the name of my shoegaze album coming up next month.
Once again,
yeah.
If you'd like to be my co-host, it would be great. The gang run into the huge library where HP is sitting.
Gorgeous study.
At the fireplace watching a news report about stolen Darrow family artifacts. A creepy chest, basically. And that will be very important soon.
That'll show up later.
And HP is freaked out because he believes he has caused all this monster
madness. Yeah, he's worried that through his translations of the demon tomes to write his books, he's accidentally unleashed the real Chargnagothicon upon the city.
How many times has that happened
to
you folks?
Oh my god, like weekly.
I know.
What's really never like when you live on the Hellmouth, like why are you poking around in demon tomes? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on, buddy. It's just irresponsible.
It's Crystal Cove.
Yeah.
Shaggy and Scoob, they all go their separate ways.
HP kicks him out, basically. He's like, I gotta get back to my stuff.
His book learning.
They do notice a bunch of fan mail.
Yes.
And a lot of it's written in the same hand. The same handwriting.
The same hand.
Like someone is obsessive. Yes, clearly.
Clearly.
They all get kicked out, and Fred is like, so we gonna solve this mystery together or what, guys? Because, like, clearly we make a pretty good team, and everyone just kind of looks at each other and walks away.
We've all been there.
And poor clueless Fred is like, so that's a no? It's a cute moment.
It's,
I liked
it. It's like a high five that's never returned.
Oh, my God. That's such a good way of putting it. That's so sad.
And we go back to Campus Burger, and Shag, Scoob, and Velma are there.
So
even Velma's
hanging
by
out
herself,
studying. Yeah.
She's reading.
Or reading, yeah. And then Shaggy and Scooby show up, and Velma's like, what are you doing here? This place is vegan. And they're like,
it's the only
literally
restaurant.
The only place to eat. So I guess they're going to do round two with veggie burgers.
Even though they didn't like it.
And then Fred gets tackled into Velma's table, taking down the
Wrestled.
Entire table.
Yeah.
And she's like, jinkies, Fred. And then it pans to Fred, who's being oh so tenderly spooned by this giant wrestler boy on the ground. It's even gayer than the last round, honestly,
if anything.
Yeah.
And
but he's
says
having a grand old time. He's making
Fred's
new friends.
Gonna learn a new wrestling move called the Happy Tapioca.
The Happy Tapioca, you guys. They're gonna give him a happy
The writer's
tapioca.
Room. The writer's room, and they came up with that.
Like, how far can we push it, but still.
A list of things they could have moved.
I would love to see that whiteboard. But yeah, he's like, I don't know what that is, but apparently it means I'll be submerged in pudding. Ha ha. He's making great friends. And then on the way out the door, they're all like joking around and joshing and jumping on each other. And then you see like a hand go behind Fred, hear a smack, and he goes, oh, Johnny. It's amazing.
You remember a lot of that.
Yeah, well, I mean,
times.
Okay.
He saw it twice.
Yeah.
And
it's the gayest scene we've seen in this entire series. So, yeah,
it's pretty gay.
Stuck with me.
Like tapioca.
Good thing Daphne is not. Another thing that crossed my mind. Good thing
that's
Daphne
probably why
doesn't
she wasn't
see
there.
Any of this.
That's probably why she wasn't there, because homoeroticism doesn't seem to be her bag.
I don't think it would be the homoeroticism. It would just be seeing Fred, like, happy, making friends, like. She'd just be worried about him being stolen away. I don't think she'd care that he was gay. She just wants him to herself.
It would actually answer a lot of her questions.
It would. Really would. That actually might be the best way out for him for all,
way out.
All of this.
It's the way out, Fred.
Well, he
Take
doesn't
it.
Seem so into it.
And then the restaurant's attacked by Squidly Diddly, Chargar.
Oh, yeah. You hear some noises. They're like, what's up? And then the wall just explodes. And Squidly Beans just charges through.
Daniel, do you know what it's called when they make that weird Star Wars noise?
Which one?
A screech?
Yeah, that screeching. There's a term for it.
No.
The Wilhelm scream?
Yeah, that.
Do they do that sound?
Yeah, the guy that's the waiter and his paper hat does that scream.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's like one of the most famous sound effects of all time.
Yeah. Sorry, Daniel.
I'm not a...
Folks at home, you would recognize this noise. I can't reproduce
it. It's that, like when people... People get knocked off buildings and things.
Like
I
don't know. Google Wilhelm Scream.
Maybe. Never mind.
Not the band, though the band is very good, too. Yeah, it's really
good.
Do
they do that sound effect?
I don't think so. It's like post-punk.
We probably
hardcore.
Should have figured that out and told producer Daniel before so we could have played a clip.
Well, we're
of
just,
it.
You know, we're you riffing, know? Throwing
we're
things
riffing.
Out there.
Maybe we'll put it on the webpage.
Maybe.
For those who don't know. So Shaggy rescues Velma from the restaurant.
Oh yeah, scoops her up and runs out. It's kind of a nice
gallant
moment.
And he said and she says something.
Oh, she's just because you're saving me doesn't mean I forgive you or something like that.
Still, Velma, she's still holding that grudge like a warm blanket, like a snuggie.
I mean, I'm not sure what the chronology is here, but the gang just broke up. The parents were talking about it'll do you some good to be away from those kids. So this is like pretty fresh. Like, I don't think
it is pretty.
Yeah, I don't think it's unreasonable for her to still be upset about this.
Now,
this isn't like a year later.
HP, just to go back and dig deeper, HP Hatecraft is voiced by Jeffrey Combs. Some of you out there probably know him. You've definitely heard him or seen him. He was in the classic Reanimator film, and he's done a lot of HP Lovecraft work. So getting him, once again.
Makes sense.
So good. He was in The Frighteners, another movie that I love, a scary movie I enjoy.
I don't know if I've seen that. I don't know if I've seen that or Reanimator, actually.
H.P. Lovecraft fans named him the first Lovecraftian actor.
Oh, nice. That's fun.
For his frequent appearances in movies based on Lovecraft's writing, including a portrayal of Lovecraft himself in Necronomicon, Book of the Dead.
Yeah.
In 1993.
Ooh.
So, yeah, I mean, awesome. So, hats off,
yeah, that's cool,
to the creative team for reaching it. Reanimator, classic. Have you seen that movie?
No, I don't think I have.
It's terribly wonderful.
Yeah.
All that's missing is Bruce Campbell.
Oh.
If they ever did a remake, they should put him in that.
And
most
movies are missing Bruce Campbell.
What?
But most movies would benefit from Bruce Campbell.
So is Scooby-Doo, oddly enough.
He would be involved in a Scooby-Doo project. Well, he's a little more PG-13. Than Scooby likes to get. I saw him at a...
Listen, you wouldn't watch a Scooby-Doo Guess Who with Bruce Campbell?
Oh, no, I absolutely
with
would.
Dead
I'm just saying, I don't know if he would be able to hold it together and not swear and berate the crew long enough. Apparently, he's kind of difficult
Rick
to work...
Ricky Gervais is in an episode. He's
that's,
pretty blue.
That's true. That he does work blue a lot. That's true. I've heard that Bruce Campbell can be difficult to work with, and the one time I saw him live, he lived up to that reputation.
I worked with him at a book signing once. He was a little heavy furniture, but oh so handsome. He was doing a signing for his book, If Chins Could.
I mean, he's so charming, and like him being a jerk to the crowd played so well
that
no one minded. Yeah, yeah, it was great, but like
he's
he
like
yelled
Carlin
at like
Ellison.
An 8-year-old girl. Like it was incredible.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Good for him.
He was just like, why are you here? Like,
yeah, why is she there?
It's so funny.
To your point, why is she
there?
Yeah,
I mean, it's a good point. She shouldn't have been, but anyways.
Back to the episode. Scooby goes to rescue Fred, who is going to be dunked into the vat of tapioca. It's almost like a witch hanging outside or a lynching.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of scene. It's not a rescue so much as they're running away from Chargargothicon and they just like
grabs him.
Yeah, they tackle him down because they know that they can't solve this mystery with him.
And Fred without his shirt on is pretty darn
Ripped.
Yeah.
Not as quite as ripped as his frat buddies.
Well,
but,
they're a little bit older than he is. Give him some time.
That's true.
And he has his
ascot. He has the ascot on.
And his tiny shorts.
Yeah, yeah.
So he is rescued.
About to be so do you think this is university infrastructure or fraternity infrastructure? The pudding vat. Is this the communal university pudding vat?
I'm gonna. All right.
Did they build this? Just
I didn't
for
think
the
of
occasion?
This, but now it's Crystal Cove. Where do they get their money from? Hauntings.
Yeah.
So maybe it's like not Scary Farm where they have a witch hanging or something, and that was just infrastructure.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm just making this up.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Seems,
no, it's cool. I'm with you. Yeah, yeah.
They might have some sort of monster torture device.
I just remember
campus.
Thinking after the episode, like, where's the byline in the budget for like the pudding dipping? I don't.
Well, that's
a
lot of tapioca.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, tapioca aside, just the vat and the crossbar to dip them in it, you know.
Well, look at all the money they put into their scheme, so there's probably a lot of money floating
around. I mean, if
Fred
can just, like, rent a shark in a tank for a trap, then, you know, that's just pocket money for a vat of pudding.
So they escape said monster, as always, and Hatecraft has a big reveal to his class, cut to his scene in the lecture hall.
Oh, well, I feel like we're missing something here. No. After the monster, after they chase the monster off, they see Harlan skulking around in the bushes.
Oh, yeah, he's spying on us.
Yeah, and they're like, are you spying on us? And he's like, yeah. He wanted to verify that they were actually being chased by Chargargothicon. And is this before or after the second time back in the house? because there's the moment with Velma and Scooby.
This is before. Sure.
Okay. And Harlan or HP Hatecraft.
We come well prepared, folks. Well prepared.
HP Hatecraft is like, well, knowing what I know now, I have to reveal the shocking, terrible truth behind Chargar Gothicon. And so smash cut to the lecture hall and they gathered everyone here and he's like, Harlan Ellison was right. I'm a fraud. Like, straight up, made it all up. Totally pushing the supernatural angle to sell books. I like selling books. Money is neat. This is a Scooby-Doo cartoon, so of course it was about the money. So I guess don't worry about Chargar Gothicon.
Like, he can't be real.
Yeah, he can't be real. But they did just see him, so...
I guess he's just trying to clear his own conscience, I guess, maybe.
I think, actually, I thought it was a really cool moment. I thought that very much spoke to him and his character, like, to his credit, the fact that he's like, oh, people are actually getting hurt now? Like, time to pull the plug on this. Like,
but
he
who does not care for that reveal? Howard. Cute Howard.
Oh, Howard's free. He stands up. Who's making you lie like this?
Wow. That's a good.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm always surprised by your voice work, man. If any of you animators out there,
any casting directors,
don't do it.
Oh my God, please.
So that big reveal happens, and in the midst of the big reveal, there's another protest in the lecture hall.
Oh yeah, suddenly the protesters show up. They're like, "Don't listen to him.
Monsters have rights too." Yeah. And they have a rock band.
Chargar Gothicon should not be silenced. And here's a song explaining why.
And I love any band with a tambourine. You know that. My weakness is a good tambourine.
A good tambourine.
And the drummer, the businessman drummer, looks an awful lot like Mr. E's assistant.
He does. Yeah, I don't know. There's just like a random suit on drums, which is kind of fun.
Did you call him a suit?
Yeah.
Maybe he can protest.
No, he's just a random suit.
We don't know his background. And as they're protesting, our good friend Squidly Gargotha monster attacks the lecture hall.
Calamarimon. He shows up, starts wrecking shop.
Sonic
blast left and right. Yep. Sonic
a lot
shrieks,
of damage.
Maybe
shrieks.
Yeah, yeah.
It is the shrieking madness.
Destroys the lecture hall. Everyone's freaking out. Everyone's
grabs
running.
HP.
Grabs HP. Kidnaps That's right. Kid kidnaps HP.
Yeah.
And so now the kids
run after him.
And they're like galvanized as the mystery.
Yes.
Crew again. Yes. At this point, like, with that, they don't talk about it, but they all fall back into their roles, which I really like how this episode throughout pushes them back together in their roles. It's like the universe is telling them, this is how it should be, this is who you are, and this is what you need to do.
Just be yourself.
Yeah. And I love that. I love how
you do love that.
I do. I was so upset at the very beginning how them being driven apart, and I love how because we've already seen them try to sit down and hash it out. Remember? Like,
the therapy?
Yeah, like that. You know, when Daphne's saying, like, when her mom goes crazy, they just, like, hire someone with authority and then lock her in a treehouse. So they've tried that approach and it didn't work. And so I love that the universe just brings them back together and they just accept it. Like, they're back into it. And it makes me very happy.
They end up at Hatecraft Manor with one of my favorite shots of the show ever, maybe. The gang in the rain. They're kind of, like you said, Avengers assembled and standing in the rain.
Yeah.
And ready to solve that mystery. Did we already show that picture, Daniel? We already did?
Yeah.
Oh, so you all
Well,
know.
That previous picture, great still from the series.
So they run inside,
mm-hmm.
and Fred's first instinct, of course, is to
Now it's time to split up. Yeah.
It's time to split up.
So he goes off with Daphne, of course.
Of course. And
Velma and Scooby end up together.
They do.
And they
leave
kind
Shaggy
of
behind.
Accidentally ditch Shaggy. He's like monologuing and then turns around and
everyone's gone.
He's like, oh, jeez. Yoinks.
Yoinks. Fred is excited as he's walking through the manor, finding all sorts of weapons and things. And he's excited for when he grows up, that he can have all sorts of cool junk.
I love how his idea of adulthood is, like, basically I can be an antiques hoarder when I grow up. Like, because the Haunted Mansion of HP here is, granted, is filled with a bunch of cool artifacts and stuff. A lot of
scimitars
cool stuff.
And demon
yeah,
things.
Yeah, and scrolls and tapestries and suits of armor and things. I
love a tapestry.
And they're hunting around for components for his trap.
For a trap.
and Daphne finds this cool like hook thing.
Hook hand.
And
it's like a Captain Hook's hand.
Yeah. Yeah, and Fred's stoked for like, I can't wait till I can grow up and have all these cool things with that great old people smell.
The old people smell. And he asks, guess what I'm thinking? Fred asks Daphne, guess what I'm thinking?
How that comes up, yeah.
And Daphne, of course, says, about me.
He's like, oh, like, oh, yeah, hopefully. About me. And he's like, ha, gotcha. I'm not thinking about anything. My mind is a complete void.
Good try, though. Damn, Fred. And Daphne just kind of shrugs it off and sighs, which is her lot in life at this point.
Yeah, she takes it like a champ, you know. She kind of teed that one up.
She got to see him with his shirt off. It's all fine.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's like, it reminds me of Sheldon and Amy on The Big Bang Theory.
Sure.
A show that you don't really watch.
Not really.
Where just resigned to, I'm not going to get much, and I'll just enjoy what I get. And then we get Velma and Scooby. And when they realize they're both together, it doesn't go too well.
No, it's kind of awkward.
I love it when you're reading the notes. Yeah, looking straight ahead.
I'm trying to catch up here. We got the notes on the screen in front of us.
I forget what the line is exactly,
but like, oh, Velma's talking about how Shaggy rescued her.
Yes.
And she's like, oh, I wonder what Shaggy's thinking. And even though like we're not together, who am I kidding? It's like he's a part of me. Like,
yeah.
It's like I can feel his thoughts.
Oh, so
even
so
though he left me for you, and looks at Scooby,
and then Scooby apologizes.
Oh, it's really cute.
And
he
puts
has a little
paw on his hand in her.
I'm
on her.
Sorry.
Yeah,
it's really cute.
Do we show that picture, Daniel? God, I'm so behind. It's such a cute picture, though.
It is.
He's genuinely sad. He's genuinely sad, Daniel.
He's trying.
He's. Don't point at the dog, Daniel. Scooby's generally realizing that she is hurt. And
yeah. And it's a little.
And he's a dog. And he seems to be the most capable of deep thought more than anybody else on the show. And empathy. Good on you, Scooby. Good on you. So we got to wrap this up. We've got to wrap this mystery up.
We're getting towards the end here. Yeah. So
they hear Shaggy screaming.
They all rush to save Shaggy.
So Velma and Shaggy selflessly run after Velma and Scooby run after Shaggy.
And Shaggy's been attacked by something in the shadows, which
a backpack.
Turns out to be
a backpack.
Which smells disgusting and is full of notebooks.
What is it? Wait, what does it smell like?
It smells like.
It smells
moldy
like I'm reading
tuna
the. What
and
is
ranch
it?
Dressing.
Moldy tuna ranch dressing.
It smells like a baboon smoking a cigar while bathing in a bath of moldy tuna and ranch dressing.
Gross.
Thank you, disembodied
you
vomit voice.
You wanted us
voice.
To read that?
Blah. Gross. And then they hear noise behind a door. Fred busts the door down because he's buff. And they find the freckled kid.
From the beginning.
The first victim.
Who we thought might have been killed, but
he's
just
alive.
Been locked
yeah.
in. The pantry or something?
Oh,
I forget.
He's
in
books.
This weird, like, cellar.
He's really upset because he's trapped in that hacks full of books.
All
he
there
to
is
read
is, like,
it.
Notebooks or something from H.P. Hatecraft, yeah. And it's, like, all candlelit and creepy in there. I don't know why H.P. Hatecraft didn't notice that there was someone locked in his house.
He doesn't seem very with it, though.
Yeah, I guess not.
There's a lot of it. He thinks demons are coming through a portal.
No, he doesn't. He's admitted that it's all fake now.
I think he still thinks it.
Yeah.
And we'll find out later on a later episode.
Anyway, we hear HP screaming.
We need a new format. Daniel, we got to work on. We got to work on a new format for this.
We're doing it.
Yeah. Scooby doing it. Essentially, there's the chase, and Chargar Gothicon grabs our good friend HP Hatecraft. And he's going to throw him off a roof.
Yeah, they're up on
he's
the roof.
Straight
in
sacrifice
the rain,
him.
And he's straight up going to throw him off the roof.
Yeah.
And the gang notice, but they, like, from the shadows.
They're climbing up
the
roof.
Shadows.
They're climbing up the roof.
Yeah, they haven't confronted him directly yet. And I think it's Velma says, like, you know, these ancient demons are always conquered by chanting,
or getting their attention by chanting. So they start chanting.
I forget
whatever.
What they say. Chargar, Gothagon, or whatever. And Fred sneaks around the side to tackle Chargar, but
actually,
before he gets a...
Actually, it is Scooby and Shaggy who sneak off to the side.
Oh, you're right.
In a moment of rare bravery from the two, they sneak off from the pack, and they're about to jump on him when he realizes what's about to happen.
And he sonic shrieks the other kids. Looks like they're going to fall off the roof.
Everyone's going to fall off the roof now.
They barely hold on to the railing. And at this point, Chargar turns around and yeets HP right over the edge.
And then he also falls.
And right before HP clears the roof, you see Scooby bites the ankle of his pants. And Shaggy is holding Scooby by the tail. And then Chargar goes over.
And then HP grabs Chargar Gothicon for some reason to save him.
Yeah, somehow. Him. So
bye, Squiddly Diddly. Save yourself.
Bye, girl. For sure. But
and they pull them up. But as Chargar Gothicon is going over the edge, he screams like a person.
Like a people scream. Yeah.
A people scream. You know.
Not a sonic scream. So they haul him up, and, you know, clearly at this point.
It's time for the unmasking.
And who is it? But
Howard.
It's Howard. I knew it was going to be Howard. Cute I knew Howard. From the moment they started yelling
Flat
at him.
Flat top
in that,
Howard.
Yeah, he's kind of cute. As soon as they started yelling at him in that lecture hall, I knew it.
He wanted to defend HP Hatecraft from his critics by becoming his greatest creation using military applications of sonic technology he learned at Learning Annex.
He took a class on military applications of sonic technology at the
Learning
Annex.
Sounds like going to Valley College.
Can I sign up for that class?
And he glued real octopus parts.
Oh, and he's like, maybe I shouldn't have glued real octopus parts to my face. And everyone's like,
that's the smell. You're going too far down.
Which I thought
Daniel,
that was kind of a
Daniel,
fun.
Daniel.
Oh, hey, it's okay.
No.
He's working at his own pace. Yeah. I thought that was a fun.
No more.
Like side mystery. You know, usually you're just trying to find out who it is, but like they also solve the mystery of the smell. Yeah, it's kind of fun.
And he would have gotten away with it too if not for the dark elder forces conspiring in the inky black of time most foul. And those meddling kids.
It's always the dark, inky.
Inky
forces.
Black
yeah.
of time, most
sure.
Time. I say that every morning. Every morning. And we have our unmasking in Harlan
and HP.
He
went after HP because if he killed HP, then the world wouldn't find out he was a liar. Because,
discredit his own work.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's unmasked, then HP and Harlan decide they should work together.
Harlan shows up and is like, what's going on? And HP is like, oh, it's just a fan who took things too far. And Harlan's like, yeah, man, F those fans.
We should write
a
book about
that. And they have like
a
little bonding moment. And they're like, oh, we should write a book about that. And they're like spitballing book titles. Like all of a sudden they're besties.
And one of them is a take on the movie that Harlan Ellison wrote, A Boy and His Dog. It's a post-apocalyptic movie about Don Johnson and his doggy. Huh. Like much like Scooby-Doo.
I have heard of A Boy
and His
Dog.
It was a book, and then it became a pseudo-famous movie of the same name. And the gang wrapped up the mystery. They go to the Mystery Machine, which somehow is there. I guess the reason the Mystery Machine was there is for this reveal.
Yeah. But you're right, though. I never considered that we don't know how or why the Mystery Machine is on campus, because they all got rides there.
But they go to the back of the Mystery Machine, open it up, and we find
the stolen chest
of the Darrow family.
The archives.
Is revealed as Mystery Incorporated's back again. And Mr. E says maybe if the original Mystery Incorporated had all this information, they wouldn't have died or
disappeared. The first time. Yeah.
And we get a lot of stuff. We get a lot of clues. We see the Darrow family. We see a weird piece of pizza looking thing.
Puzzle thing. Scroll.
So now.
You just know Velma's like stoked. She's all over.
She's
this.
Forgotten about everything. Now she's ready for it. So this is allegedly what's going to keep the gang together because they have a new mystery.
She even says, like, looks like our one mystery turned into two.
Look at the camera, the end.
That's it. End of the episode. Very good.
Now, we do rate the episodes on a pause scale if you're new for us. and it's up to four paws, like a dog, and Daniel introduced the tail. So sometimes we can have a tail if we want to.
Yeah, we could.
What say you?
Three paws. Solid three paws. I like this episode. A lot of good references. The gang gets back together. Excellent voice work. And it pushes along the greater narrative. So, you know, all things that we like.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Solid three paws on this episode. It's solid from beginning to end, and it really delves into spookier things than we normally get in Scooby-Doo. And just, yeah, good voice work, good second, third viewing, digging up stuff. And Gay Fred is always a good time.
Super gay stuff is great.
And
all the college stuff is
Harlan Ellison's voice work was great. Mm-hmm. And it did thrust forward the overreaching arc of the series, which everyone knows I love, which you pointed out. But what more can we say about this episode? But being vegan is very healthy, I guess.
Supposedly. Well, I mean, you could be... No, that's not necessarily true, because you can be an unhealthy vegan. You can just
eat fries. We also learned that reading from a teleprompter, probably not our gig.
No, it's totally distracting for us. Sorry about that, guys.
Normally, you know, we'll get better at this as time goes on. Normally, I have notes, but for some reason, I didn't have the rest of my notes.
He forgot them.
Producer Daniel was sweet enough to print the notes on his computer screen for me to see the end of... which caused us to read a little more like this.
I don't print it and paste it onto the screen. I just put it on the screen.
Thanks, Daniel.
You're welcome, old man.
On that note, we will be going into back into the mystery machine. Until next time, where next time we're going to come to you with a very special episode of the Mystery Machine Diaries. We toyed with this before, our little Scurby Derps segment.
We're going to try it again.
And this time, it's going to be its own little show. So that's our way of trying to make up to you for the lack of the last few episodes. But if this one is any indication, you're welcome for the time
maybe
off.
Maybe we need a longer break.
Yeah. On behalf of myself, producer Daniel, and a pup named Chris, unpleasant dreams. And
good night.
Good night. Stay cool, Mystery Maniacs. We have a lot of editing to do, Daniel. I know they can hear us. What are they going to do now? They've already listened to it.